This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hello. Ooh, sorry about that. Hello. Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Brought to you by Sunbury Motor Company, or Sunbury Motors, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet here in the Sunbury Motors studio. We were talking a bit before the break about the Pac-12 reforming with Oregon State and Washington State. Kind of rating the Mountain West for some new teams and what kind of is going on there and how that affects, you know, kind of what's going on with the ACC and Florida State and the grant of rights thing.
I don't think it's going to affect any of that. Mike DeCourcy's right, though. I love what Mike said yesterday. Notre Dame has a long history of you either love them or hate them, right?
Yes.
He said, you got to give Florida State credit. He said, they accomplished that in 9 months. I mean, it's like, okay, there you go. Something that will come up with this. Does this give them Power 5 status, the Pac-12? No, it does not. They need to get two more schools so they can get back to full conference status. They will get an automatic bid to the NCAA men's basketball tournament and the women's tournament. That will happen. But they're not going to get... Okay, there's no automatic... Okay, the Big Ten... One thing that I think is misunderstood about all this is that it is... It is not automatic bids for the four conference champions. All right? It is the five highest ranked conference champions that get, okay, the four highest ranked get an automatic bye. Right? Now, they could have Oregon State, for example, be ranked eighth, and they would get in. But I think what would happen is that they would displace Liberty, for example. And just so you know, under the current alignment, so let's go back to last year. Under the current alignment, you know who would have made the college football playoff? Under the current alignment. Arizona would be, because you take out Oklahoma and Texas, they would be in the SEC. Arizona was ranked 17th last year. They were the highest ranked Big 12 team. Now, of course, you know, they didn't win the conference championship, but I'm just saying, just based on the ranking, not having nothing to do with the conference championship, because you have to be a conference champion and be ranked to do this, okay? It's the five highest-ranked conference champions, four from the Big 12, ACC, SEC, Big Ten, and the Group of Five. What's the five highest ranked? And the four highest ranked, and it could be, for example, I mean, Liberty could be ranked fourth. They would, you know, and that would mean that Arizona would have to play the first round. But Arizona at 17 would have been the highest ranked Big 12 team under the current alignment. You know that?
I did not.
So you would have had 12th ranked Liberty and 17th ranked Arizona in. Penn State, everybody's talking about them being 8-9 last year. They would have been 10th. They would have been the last team in last year. They would have had to have played a 7 on the road. See, that's what we're talking about, highest ranked champions. Right? Liberty actually would have gotten the bye. Not Arizona. They're ranked higher. How about that one?
That would have sparked some debate.
Yeah. Guess who they would have played? Georgia. And Georgia would have pounded them like a...
In Liberty's defense, that's not a short list, though, either.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right. Thanks for being in the playoff. That's something to at least consider is what we're watching here. Now, Arizona would have been higher ranked if they had to be the team that would have won the Big 12 championship game, right? They wouldn't have been ranked 17th. They'd have bumped up by winning it. Just so everybody knows. But let's give the Pac-12 a lot of credit. I mean, they're not going to be the Pac-12. They're going to be the Pac-8 when it's probably all said and done. I don't think they're going to go to 10 teams. But I think now they're entitled to play the waiting game. And they have, I would safely say, 6 to 8 months, maybe 6 to 9 months, to come up with the last two. Now, Gonzaga's out, so don't start the Gonzaga stuff. They don't play football. So it doesn't do anybody any good to have them there. And that doesn't get you to the 8 you need. You have to be able to play football. I'll throw out one that is an absolute wild card. How about North Dakota State? They've been terrific in FCS. Is this the time they make a move to FBS and get into a conference like this?
I was going to say, I saw the two Dakotas. I saw maybe going into Texas with Texas San Antonio and possibly Texas State.
Yeah, they could do that. But let's give credit where credit's due. They came up with a plan to stay alive, and they have the money. Because of all that NCAA tournament money they got to keep, the last media checks they got to keep, things like that. They have a $65 million, quote, war chest to operate with. That's why between the poaching fee, which is $43 million, and the exit fees, which are $17 to $18 million, depending on what you read, the bill comes to about $111 million. They say, hey, we'll help with that. Okay, great. But they have come up with a plan. And you know, now they have to come up with a media rights deal. The CW, of course, has the deal with the Pac-12 right now. I think along with Fox, I think they both do. It's very limited. And They also still have at their disposal, by the way, the production arm of what's left of the Pac-12 network. They still have a broadcast studio that has all the technology in the world. So they have to, Washington State and Oregon State still have to come up with schedules for 25 because this Mountain West thing's falling apart. They have to come together and invite two more schools. They also need a media rights deal that goes from 2026 for at least 5 years. And once they have the membership set, that's why they have to have the next, in I'd say 6 to 8 months, they have to have the other two because they have to sit down and start negotiating. You know, just say, hey, we got eight schools. What do you think? Everybody's looking around like, I don't know. I don't have room for you. I'll give you another one. It's a possibility in terms of media rights. Now, you know, Apple, Amazon, certainly. But Amazon, I mean, Amazon's doled out the money for the NFL and the NBA. I think they're out of this stuff. Apple's still sitting there. I'm like, okay. But what about TNT? They're getting into college football. You know, they're going to be carrying two playoff games.
I think they already do some Mountain West. Or is that CBS? CBS Sportsline.
CBS does the Mountain West.
I was going to say, they've been showing some games on True TV in the late time frame.
Yeah. So, that's, you know, I think this gets an A+ for staying alive. It's a C+, B- for membership. But I would like to point out they were not going to get beyond C+, B- for membership. Okay, there are no A's left out there, okay? Okay? Something tells me the Pac-12 was not going to get Notre Dame. Just a gut feeling.
How about Clemson and Florida State?
that would work out great. Yeah, I don't think that's happening anytime soon either.
They did have a hearing yesterday in Florida about the Florida State stuff. And the reason I kind of mentioned the grant of rights stuff with the ACC is there's some question is if, depending on how the Florida judge rules about the Florida State grant of rights stuff, that it could affect the entire, everybody's grant of rights, not just Florida State's. Like, yeah. Big Ten, big, like, make them all null and void.
Wonderful. Well, you know what? I really don't care, in all honesty, what a Florida State graduate as a judge rules. And I believe he is a Florida State graduate. That's correct?
I think so.
Yeah. I really don't care what he rules. Okay? Okay, that's why they created appeals. So it's not going to, you know.
That was what their meeting was about, and why they really haven't set a trial date, because they don't understand how it's going to affect the rest of the country if he rules in favor of Florida State.
He can rule in favor of Florida State, but it's not going to. I don't think it changes anything. Again, I keep going back to the same thing over and over again. Florida State needs to explain to any judge, regardless of what school they went to, why they signed the grant of rights not once, but twice. Okay? Okay? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. All right? You signed it twice. There you go. Explain why you signed it the second time. If it's such a damning document, why did you sign it the second time? And you actually have a generation of people out there, for some odd reason. I don't get if this is because of the way the pandemic played out or whatever. You got a lot of young people out there that don't think signing contracts means anything. You actually, you can get out of that. You can get out of it? You know, really, you signed it. What do you mean get out of that? Yeah, you can get out of that. You can. About that. Every contract I signed in my lifetime, and there's been a lot of them, I took it seriously, and so did the side I was signing with. We thought it was binding. Yet you have actually a group of people out there that actually believe that a signed contract means nothing these days. What? What are you talking about? See, that's the part I don't get. I don't get where that attitude comes from. I mean, you heard Mike and I talking about it the other day. Yeah. And like we had the same thing over and over again. We're kind of looking at it like, yeah, well, guess what? This shouldn't take too long. Look, hey, whose name is that on there? Oh, really? Well, I think we're over. We're done now. You also have to have people that want you. There's a big assumption out there that, like, they want them. Hey, Thursday Night Football is tonight. First one. Bills, Dolphins, not bad.
Plus, it's much warmer in Buffalo now than it could be in January, so that's a plus for the Dolphins.
That's a plus for everybody.
True.
Everybody. You think the Buffalo fans are like going over to Orchard Park going, oh, great, it's 15 below zero. Let's go. I mean, they're excited about the game. Believe me. I grew up in New England, okay? I know what cold is, okay? So it's like, oh, you're used to the cold weather. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Cold's cold. Simple as that. Oh, goodness gracious.
It's like the old, it's 115, but it's a dry heat.
Oh, yeah. Like, the dry heat. It's hot. I'm used to it. Nobody's used to it. All right, how many of you out there, like, when it's really cold for, like, 2 weeks in a row, I'm really used to it. It's like, great. Yeah, and the first time it gets to be 38 degrees, man, it feels a lot warmer out. We'll take a break. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza is having their fall kickoff blitz. Savings of up to $12,416 and financing as low as 0%. Score a great deal on the award-winning 2024 Ford Bronco Sport, and SMC has 18 in stock, priced from as low as $29,965. Sunbury Motors is going to give you a Hail Mary of a deal on over 50 2024 Ford Escapes, priced as low as $27,915. Plus, get 1.9% financing for 60 months. SMC is the Hall of Fame of Ford F-150s, with 35 available, with discounts of over 12 grand, and they are slashed to the lowest price of the season, starting at only $48,859. Don't let the play clock run out on these awesome deals, as the final drive of savings ends Monday, September 30th. Sunbury Motors is a fifth-generation Ford dealer, proudly owned by the Mertz family for over a century.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
So we get Al Michaels, Kirk Herbstreit, Kaylee Hartung tonight. As Thursday Night Football gets rolling now with the Amazon Prime version of it, I like the presentation. I do. And it's interesting how I was reading a story. We've had Kirk Herbstreit on the show, and of course, I've talked to him a number of times. And to be honest with you, I don't think they get... I think Kirk Herbstreit is really intelligent. really smart, and he calls a great game. But off the air, they don't get nicer than the guy. I mean, the guy is just a genuinely really good guy. I mean, genuinely is a really good guy. And he was talking about the transition to working with Al Michaels. And, you know what really helped out a lot, he says, is that starting, like, the first season, he was running around. He's trying to do college. He's trying to do game day. He's trying to do the NFL. He said last year, he made sure that he and Michaels went out to dinner on Wednesday night. I can't begin to tell you how important that is. It's one thing that we do all the time and have done for forever. All of us, and if it's all five of us together, we make sure on a road game on Friday night, we go out. Just to sit there, talk, have some laughs, maybe talk a little football, whatever. But, you know, it's just important. And Jack and I take turns as to which one picks up the check. We alternate. And we've done that for years. And I just think it does a lot for everybody, quote, being together. So that when you get to the booth the next day, everybody's already gone out, had a good time. It's a bunch of friends getting together, and now you're going to broadcast the game. And Kirk was talking about how he and Al started doing that last year, in year two, going out on Wednesday night, and it meant a lot. And Al Michaels, who doesn't eat vegetables and doesn't have pets, loves Ben the Golden Retriever.
I did say he said yesterday that he'd have a dog now before he'd have a vegetable, so.
And he's probably correct about that. It's interesting. Somebody was actually critical. People got critical of the dumbest things. But they were critical of Herb Street having his dog with him. Who cares? And by the way, the dog is, by the way, coming back from cancer surgery. Hey, people get up, what's the dog doing there? Who cares?
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Everybody, welcome back to the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Last half hour for Thursday. Scott Lauber joined us earlier today to talk some Phillies. We had our high school football roundtable. Tomorrow, Thomas Frank Carr will join us to talk a little Penn State. Bob Nightingale will talk a little national baseball. Been a little football heavy for obvious reasons the last couple weeks, but I figured we'd talk a little baseball this week with the bye week this week. Penn State, of course, hosts Kent State, 3:30 kick next Saturday out at Beaver Stadium. Listen to the game here on 107.3. I believe 2 o'clock, Steve and Jack will be on the air next Saturday.
Yeah, I think, what, Kabinda and Hackenberg get going at, what, 1:30?
Sounds right.
No, 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
And then we'll get going at 2 and go from there. Yeah.
Kent State has what? Tennessee this week?
Tennessee this week down in Knoxville. So, if you're the athletic director at Kent State, you are making money the next 2 weeks. You may not be winning games, but you're making some money the next 2 weeks. And that's big. I mean, for their athletic department, that's huge. Now, they want to win. They brought in Kenny Burns for a reason, and Kenny's in his second year. They only won a game last year. Garcia from Southern Columbia is out for the year. That doesn't help. He was their leading returning rusher. They do have Kai Thomas, who transferred from Minnesota, where Burns had been. Transferred from Minnesota. He is the guy that is their primary running back. But, yeah. Look, it doesn't really matter. Just go out, win the game, move on. And that's the key to next week. This week has given some guys in the bumps and bruises category. It's bought them some time. That's great. So that's really helped. So the timing in that regard ended up being really good. I mean, you don't know until you actually get to the week as to what kind of a plus it is to have some time off. And then you get to the weekend, like you can't look at, this is the mistake that people make. Well, it's only after 2 weeks. Right? Do you know how it works? They've been in camp since July 31st, okay? So, okay, it's been 6 weeks, right? 6 weeks. And so now you get a little break. And so that part, I think, ends up being a big plus. A big plus. And, you know, because you've been going through, training camp's a grind. Then you play a couple games, and then they're going to play four in a row, and then they get the next bye week, and then they close out with six in a row. Okay. That part works out fine. I think their offense, for the most part, has been performing well. First down's been remarkable. First down, I mean, Penn State has been tremendous on first down. But what they need to do is when they get into second down situations, they need to be able to set up third down, and then they need to be better on third down. Now, against West Virginia, they were 5 of 11. That, to me, is a good number. 2 of 9 against Bowling Green is not a good number. Okay? So it's not a good number, 2 of 9, after being 5 of 11. So the 5 of 11 tells you what they're capable of. And you also have to be able to set up your third downs. That's why second down is so important. Do you do a good job of setting up a third and short, which, of course, is exponentially easier to convert? You're going to convert third and four or less twice as often as you do third and five or better. Yeah, that's just common sense, but it's also statistically correct. And so that needs to be better. Running game, got to love where they are with that. Warren, tremendous. In the first two games. Look, they've only shown a little bit of what they have. And then defensively, the entire game against West Virginia, I thought they were terrific. And the second half against Bowling Green, they were terrific. The first half against Bowling Green, they weren't. But you have to put it into context. They played 8 quarters, and 6 quarters of defense has been really good. Because they only gave up 89 yards and 3 points in the second half to Bowling Green. And the 3 points was on the final drive that covered 41 yards. So up until the final drive that Bowling Green had to get the field goal, they'd only amassed 48 yards and 2 first downs. That's it until that final drive for 3, where now you're playing more of a, let's keep them underneath kind of defense as compared to what you were playing before. And they were operating at that point with a 2-score lead, which is critical. But, you know, that's, I mean, that's where they are. Cejeda hit a couple field goals, great. Huge for his confidence, huge for the team's confidence, because he has tremendous talent. He is a really talented kicker. Just has to do it in games. And he did it in the game against Bowling Green. They needed both those field goals. In fact, he's, you know, you look at what he did in the game. He ended up scoring 10 points in the game, 4 extra points and 2 field goals. Then, you know, Riley Thompson was the Ray Guy punter of the week. Great. Dzanski's top shelf. You know, Wosu has been terrific on kickoffs. Except for the last one. I didn't like the fact that he knocked the last one out of bounds at the 1. And so they've practiced hard the last 2 days. You know, they went the normal Sunday. They had Monday off. They went hard Tuesday. They went hard yesterday. They will practice in a walkthrough situation today, but with the coordinators. The other coaches are out of town today recruiting. So they're out of town. They get tomorrow off. They get Saturday, Sunday off. Excuse me, my apologies. They get tomorrow off. They get Saturday off. And then back to a normal practice week starting on Sunday.
What does that do for the coaches show tonight?
Bob Palko, director of high school relations and one of the legendary high school coaches at North Allegheny and Mount Lebanon, will be on the show tonight. And what I'll tell you right now, for me, it has been so much fun getting to know Bob the last 2 years. He is a fun guy. He's just a fun guy. Right? But all those years, what, he coached 23 years of high school ball?
It might even be longer than that.
He won 9 WPIALs. He won a state championship.
People probably know his son, Tyler, who played quarterback at
Pitt.
Pitt.
Yep, Pitt. Good player, really good player. But Bob's really neat, and we'll have the women's golf coach on tonight. So that's what we have this evening. She'll go first. They've got a tournament at home this week on the Penn State golf courses. So that's tonight's show, and then James returns next week. But Bob Palko's there's a lot of people like over time, like getting to know Ken Wisenhunt was really cool. Getting to know Jimmy Haslett was really cool. You know, I mean, guys that have been here, come through here. It's been great to get to know a lot of people. They give you a lot of perspective that maybe you wouldn't get. And what opens the door for me on a lot of guys is like, you work with Jack? Like, that opens the door for me almost every time. I'll freely admit that. Why not? I mean, it's like, and walk up to me and go, hey, you're Steve. No. You work with Jack? I go, yeah. Wow, that's great. You know, I always wanted to meet Jack. I'm like, okay. He'll be here Thursday. But they're like, I'll talk to you too. Okay, great.
It's like the Steel Curtain defense is famous or something.
I know.
Has some sort of legacy?
Yeah. Not bad. Not a bad group at all. Not bad. Hey, fine by me. If that opens the door, it opens the door. That's good enough. Because it turns out they, you know, like I said, they're great guys. Great guys. I'll never forget Joe Moorhead when he got here. Oh, Jack Ham's here. I'm like, yeah. Kind of cool, huh?
Yeah. Will they get Jack Lambert for the Kent State game? Didn't he go to Kent State?
Okay. Now, Lambert's not going to come over, but, Jack and I did talk about this after the game. We're down the parking lot, and he says, you know, I got a call next week. I said, yeah, you're going to call Lambert. He goes, oh, yes. He says, I'm going to call Lambert. He says, all right, there we go. Let's have some fun here. Time to call Lambert. Yeah. And I think they, you know what? That's what part of what makes the college game fun, right?
I saw they were talking to Beanie Bishop in the Steelers locker room today about being a West Virginia guy during the build up to the backyard brawl.
Yeah, yeah, the backyard brawl is interesting because we're going into week three. You know, it's the fourth week overall, but week three. And you have Oregon State hosting Oregon. You have the Apple Cup game with Washington State playing Washington, and you have the backyard brawl with Pitt and West Virginia. And Pitt's coming off a great win. To their credit, great win. They were down to Cincinnati on the road at Nippert Stadium and came back and won. Credit where credit's due. And credit where credit is due. That was a great win for them. So, yeah. You always have, yeah, always make sure you give people credit when they do something. What the heck? Trying to think what the suits that we need to give him credit for. Think of something.
He brought us together.
Oh, that's a good one. Wow, I like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, in part because he didn't want to do it. So, but I give him credit.
That means he's a problem solver.
Okay. Well, emphasis on the first word. We'll come back more in a moment. Wrap it up here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
So, the suit's a problem solver?
I tried.
I mean, that's like putting somebody in charge that actually calls all the problems to begin with.
Hey, when you create them, it's easier to solve them.
Are you sure? To me, when you create them, you are the problem.
Well,
it's like going to the poker table. If you don't realize who the mark is, it probably is you.
This is true.
Oh, goodness gracious. Normally, if you're... I'm going to solve all the problems. You are? Who created them? Well, I did. Okay. Well, I don't think you're the best choice. But we got the suit. Now, do I think he causes all the problems? Well, that's really an interesting question. We could go a lot of different ways here. I mean, is he in reality the company fireman?
He's our closer.
Our closer?
Yeah, he's our fireman.
Oh, so we're up 5-3. I'm supposed to have my feet up in the dugout.
What was Don Ossie's quote about, or Earl Weaver's quote about Don Ossie?
But no, it was Don Stanhouse.
That's right.
He called him full pack.
Yeah, he's our full pack. He makes us nervous, but eventually he will get the job done.
Nervous. I mean, he actually scares the heck out of me. I have an idea. Oh, geez. What does this mean? Normally, his ideas mean more work for us.
Hey. Well, that's how you get to be a boss.
Right. Yeah, I'm already doing work. We're good. I'm doing a lot of work. We're good. Oh, goodness gracious. All right. So tomorrow, T. Frank Carr, we're going to talk Penn State football. We're going to talk about his film breakdowns. And Bob Nightingale tomorrow. Another big night for Aaron Judge as he had one hit.
Oh.
But Ohtani, he's got a chance at 50-50. I mean, he's got a real chance.
Oh, the way he's going, he might get it by Sunday.
Right, exactly. I think, what is Judge at? Is he still at 52 home runs?
Yeah, I don't think he's hit a homer in a couple days.
Yeah, I mean, Kansas City handled him last night. It was a good win for the Yanks, though. I mean, they were able to, their bullpen bailed them out in the late innings because it went extra innings. They won in 11.
Checking the box scores last night at the paper, I can't believe they're very excited about the old 29-41 next to Clay Holmes' saves, though.
No, it's not. And you know that Clay pitched here for the spikes. So, I mean, it's. In fact, I had a friend of mine go to the Mets game the other day. Because a friend ended up going. She and her brothers ended up going to the U.S. Open to see the women's final and one of the doubles finals. She went with her brothers. I mean, her daughter was working. The third year in a row, she's worked and helped out at the U.S. Open. And then they went to Citi Field the next day to see the Mets play the Reds. And so she sent me a text because she wanted to show me a picture where they were sitting. So I texted her back and I said, hey, Harrison Bader, former Spike. All right, Adam Ottavino, former Spike, playing for the Mets. And who's the other one? There's one other one that's a former Spike that's with them. Let's see here. Starling Marte played one game for the Spikes in a rehab. So, now you localize things. Like Jesse Pegula. I mean, Jessica Pegula made the final, lost 7-5, 7-5, but she made the final. I mean, there's a period of time the Pegulas are living over in Bowlesburg, So it's, it's not maybe it could be, Jesse lived here for a little while.
Did you ever have Dave Eckert in class?
I did not have Dave Eckert in class.
Did you see that he is now the Texas beat writer for the Austin paper? I just saw that in the last couple of weeks.
Good for
moved
Dave.
Off in Mississippi State.
Good. Yeah, no, because Dave was with, I talked to Dave a lot. But Dave was with Blue White Illustrated.
Hmm. I met him at a Spikes game, I think.
Did a great job. Always did a great job. Always. I'm thrilled for him. I'm happy.
Hey. Plus, he gets to live in Austin.
I've only been to Austin once, and I thought it was a great, great town. I mean, it's a mini city. It's the capital. I think the Texas campus is beautiful. Stadium's really nice. I enjoyed working in that stadium.
I honestly, I'm a music guy. I would go to so many concerts in Austin, it would be ridiculous.
And who would you go see?
Whoever's there, they have